And check, check, check. Good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the 30th day of June 2010. You are listening to CKLN 88.1, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. And, yeah, here you are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening Morning News Show, which I do host. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. here on CKLN Radio. And and apologize right now. I will let you folks know out there that, well, it says our computer isn't working. Bad news, computer is not working. Oh, mine might be working. Anyway, I don't know how to rewire this whole thing right now, and it's all complicated and crazy. And that's why I also recommend, you can reach me at blackkrishna, blackkrishna at gmail.com. If you would like to offer some assistance to this radio station, especially of a technical nature, and you know, there's various issues, you know, with what we can and cannot do, and making sure that we're in good shape for our next CRTC hearing in September. But to do that, we should be able to put in some months of good performances. And the board's doing great, and all the programmers doing great. But radio stations do take a lot of money and expertise and time to run. And so we're doing the best we can here to bring you what you need to know. So the computer's not working, so I'm currently playing a really, really chilled out soundtrack to Cold Creek Manor. I was going to bring a CD this morning. I was going to bring the Why Say God CD again. But forgot in the kerfluffery this morning. I did make it here on time, though. I am here on time. After 2 days of being late, I'm like, oh, my God, G20 so important. Oh, my God, martial law was so crazy. Oh, I got to come here on time. And then I show up 10 minutes late, 20 minutes late. So I apologize for that. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But you know, what's interesting is that we often look for things to hold against each other in this culture. It's a socially engineered snitch culture, commune snitch culture. Where we're constantly looking for each other constantly going to catch each other in mistakes to tear each other down. Great Toronto rapper and singer Chaos, who I was always a fan of, but with his two albums ago, Atlantis Hymns for Disco, I was like, ah, crap. I can't look at you the same anymore. You know, I could see you in a Toronto club or something, meet you, and be cool, like, hey, there's Chaos, man, big ups, respect to what you're doing. But now I'm like, ah, oh, man, you're really good. You're really good. I don't want to take up any of your time. and I did meet Chaos a couple of times, by the way, in club situations or whatever. Either I went up to him or I was with some friends and I met him, and he was a bit, you know, guarded. You know, as I'm a bit more guarded than people would expect sometimes when you catch me on the street as a fairly gregarious personality here on the radio. But I understand why. And on that, there's a couple of things. One is that, because I got to try and end the hating in this damn city. We love it too much, and then we hate each other and hate ourselves, and it's completely nuts. but with respect to Chaos, when he decides to make something, like when he decides to say stuff to us, and I mean that K-OS, for those of you out there who may or may not know him, but probably one of the biggest Canadian artists, and when he decides to say something to us, like he decides to go, yo, I made a song, or I spent 6 months making an album, then it's really good. And that's where he's like, here, I want to talk to you. You know, when he wants to talk to us, you know, he sounds really good. And if he doesn't feel like talking to you, and you try and talk to him, hey, maybe it's not going to sound as good as his albums. Same with me. Hey, we got a phone call coming in. Beautiful. I actually want open phones today, folks. We are in the post G20 aftermath period, so I'm going to bring this individual up and let's figure out what's going on. Good morning, caller. You are on the air. Please turn off your radio, and what are your thoughts? Hello?
Oh.
Sorry, now Chief. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my thoughts is on Chief Blair calling the protesters terrorists.
Yeah.
I wondered if he was they were terrorists, if he'd willing to go to Afghanistan and fight real terrorists.
Well, as if those guys are real terrorists, right? I mean, it's an eight, nine, and yeah, man, the concept of terrorism is it's like when you watch all those movies in the 80s and you watch G.I. Joe and it's Cobra and they got these giant military bunkers and they can evade capture. The U.S. has 700 military bases in 150 countries around the world. Satellite technology, spies, billions or trillions of dollars to buy or bribe whoever they want to. And so they don't want to, you know, this terrorism thing, they only keep it going so they get to go around to countries and muck around. But on your question on Bill Blair and terrorism, I want you to speak, caller, so don't let me, you know, run over you or anything. This is the war on terror being aimed at the public. And people like Alex Jones at Infowars.com have been talking about this, you know, for 10 years. What they do is they create an enemy. It used to be the war on drugs. We got to get those drug dealers. So they build up these massive police, you know, and armed forces to go after them. And then, you know, the rest of us get caught in the law enforcement web. And so what they've done is they've changed the word terrorists to protesters. And next they're going to change the word protesters to, say, Christians, you know, because they want to eliminate Christianity. Because good Christians, if they act right, could kick the crap out of the New World Order. As opposed to just waiting for, you know, everything to end so they can finally be happy because God comes to get them. God's going, you're a moron. I gave you a brain. I gave you balls. I gave you, you know, you have technology. What the hell are you doing? So anyway, on that caller, I do think that Mr. Blair is playing the role that he's supposed to play, which is to get us used to the idea of taking all of our thoughts about terrorism, switching them to protests and dissenters, and then when you see a guy like me on the street putting up posters of the Yoo-Hoo glue stick, you might spit at me. So your thoughts. Hello, caller? Caller? Hello, caller? All right. all right, so, caller, are you still there? All right. So anyway, so the number here is 416-595-1655. Again, you're listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening, and I don't like this anymore. Check. Let's see here. Now what happened?
DJ Power, the soul controller.
Okay, so we're back. So, caller, I apologize if I went on too long there. I got too many explanations. And there's just too much BS out there for us to, you know, for us to wade through. So I know here in the Twitterverse and the Facebookverse and the chatverse and the text message universe, you're not supposed to say anything, you know, you're not supposed to say a sentence that lasts longer than, like, you know, 8 seconds. And you're not supposed to type any longer than 140 characters. The problem with, and people will say, that's too long, and people will, you know, adults will say, that's too long, that's too this, that's too that. And then they don't understand anything. Because they can't have anything explained to them. And they can't explain anything to anyone else. And that's how the New World Order minions at the top are creating idiocracy, where, you know, they're determined to make sure that we're stupid and that we demand to be treated like children until we're children. You know, and I know myself, you know, people complain about my singing voice, like people, you know, and I mean that metaphorically for the most part, you know, literally I suppose to some degree, where I'm just like, you know, hey, you know, there's martial law, they're taking away our rights, they're sterilizing us with GMO foods and causing us cancer and fluoride and they just had martial law last week here in the city of Toronto, and they were disappearing people in the backs of vans. You know, videos on this, go to Infowars.com. And you can see article compiled by Mr. Steve Watson out of England. So when you get a guy in London doing the work of people around here, not that there aren't people around here doing good stuff, like, you know, Dan Dix, PressOfTruth.ca, who you heard yesterday on the show along with Charlie Veach and many others. But we have a very, very strange environment we live in, where this is the new normal. You You know, and I got to tell you, how we deal with this new normal, to make sure it's not normal, is by not dealing with it like it's normal. You know, you don't just go along. You don't just go on where you're like, oh, yes, once in a while the government, you know, declares martial law, 6,000 cops, troops, mercs, and spooks on us. Because if you do that, then this will be normal. And this is exactly what the New World Order wants. And I got a copy of today's Metro with me. You know, it says here, music, and it says, cops let cat out of the bag. Police chief admits no 5-meter security rules during the summit, which basically means there was no real official rule saying if you got within 5 meters, the fence should be arrested. Ministry says change was not about police powers, and premier hasn't explained secrecy. So, you know, we're kind of given, you know, in the twisted way that, you know, we want to know that the system is fighting for us against the system. In the sense that we want to believe that, the media has to let out some, you know, half-assed revelations. And some of them, you know, they did a good job, which is that if it's the cover of the Metro, or if it's in multiple papers, or if it's on multiple news stations, and it's the same story, it's probably propaganda put out by various different intelligence services and networks to form public opinion. And then if you're the rare individual who read the article by Joe Warmington from the Toronto Sun, from Sunday's Toronto Sun, entitled Protest Enforcement Begs Questions, and where he basically talked to business owners on Yonge Street and elsewhere who were like, I paid my taxes here for 30 years, and then when I need the cops, they're not around, and then the one that I saw here ran away when the protesters came through. You know, they could sense, and Mr. Warmington was giving us the idea that this was cold, callous behavior by the feds, and a big slap in the face to all of us. He doesn't go quite as far as I do to say, you know, this is a psyop. And he interviewed me on Saturday morning around 10 o'clock after a friend sent in pictures of me posting last week to the Sun as a freelance photographer. And so thanks to them, and thanks to Mr. Warmington, because I did talk to him for, I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And we had a great conversation. I did not end up making the online article, you know, for whatever reason. I have no idea. I'm not bugging Joe about it. Because I like him. I think he likes me. I think we're cool. And I'm a journalist. You know, you might talk to me, and you might not hear your ish on the radio the next day. You might go, hey, man, what happened? And I, but, you know, just in my mind, there's an editorial process. And sometimes, you know, it's more in-depth than others. But that's what's going on in my mind, so I understand where he's coming from. But that's the point, is that we need to be able to fight for the value of, you know, mainstream stories. Like, you can get Infowars.com, 90% mainstream news, that challenge the big narrative. Because those are the only things that we'll accept, you know. Like, my blog at blackchristian.blogspot.com has some of the smartest ish you'll ever see. Like, and I know this because I talk to other people who see, you know, generally, you know, what we're supposed to get from, you know, different information sources. And I explain to them, you know, an alternate take on the same situation. And they go, yeah, you're right. Or, but, I hadn't thought of it like that. Blah, blah, blah. So these are things that beat the mainstream propaganda on a consistent basis. But if all we do is try and, you know, parrot the mainstream propaganda, then we're going to get trapped by it. It's going to change the way we think. And it's going to make it very, 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 very difficult for us to, you know, just like the caller said about the terrorism thing and Mr. Blair going over to Afghanistan to fight real terrorists. And I apologize, caller, if you're new to the show, new to this way of understanding the world, if you even believe it, but there is a new world order system out there. There's a handful of intermarried, wealthy European nobility primarily, as well as wealthy counterparts worldwide, creating the system of a globalization where they accept, you know, free trade, you know, international groups like the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, the United Nations, the International Criminal Court, the World Health Organization, you know, and they kind of agree to form a world government by growing the power of these institutions and using those institutions to dictate terms to people in different countries who no longer have their national sovereignty. And these people are inbred, intermarried psychopaths. These people are eugenicists, so they want to kill us. That's why so much of our stuff kills us. and dumbs us down. They want us dumb, and they want us controlled, and then they want us eliminated. And so what you're seeing, what you saw last week was an example of how they plan on doing that. That's it. They're going to convince people to just do this. I mean, England, London, and England is about a year ahead of us. You know, this happens there all the time. This is London. This is V for Vendetta in London. You know, where they've even recruited citizen police enforcers. So all these people in there, you can't find no jobs. You know, they become citizen, you know, tattletale squads, where they're allowed to give out fines and write tickets and again. But this is a growing, you know, evolving tyranny, and it's speeding at a galloping pace right now. So that's why. And we saw it here. We saw it here. This is still the aftermath of the G20. I'm still in the streets trying to check things out. You know, they got a bunch of silly things to distract us. The Queen is coming to town. She came to town yesterday. That's supposed to make us feel happy, even though she's like the whack job behind all this. Not sure what I can say going at the Queen in this country, especially while she's here. You know, and after the cops formed a Freemasonic soccer wall outside the Royal Bank and Royal York Hotel at Bay and I guess Wellington or whatever, just near Bay in front on the weekend over the last week for the G20. That corner was the hottest corner, man. I could not believe how hot that corner was. But yeah, outside the Royal Bank, at the Royal Bank, you know, with a picture of a lion with a big paw over the world. It's like, well, okay, even if you are the Royal Bank, do you really have to treat us like that? You know, that's your logo, you know. My logo is a punch, you know, a smiley face on the world, and my fist punching it in the head, causing the world brain damage. That's my bank logo. It's the same thing, you know, just a lion with a big paw over the top. And it's not unusual. It's part of our ethos. We've seen shields before. We have these shields on our flags and so on, but it is interesting to note that at the Royal Bank and the Royal York Hotel, where I've heard there's some wacky, wacky stuff that goes on. The Royal York is apparently, you know, a huge sort of hotbed for Freemasonic activity in the city, which includes a bunch of rituals and at the highest levels, weird criminals, you know, not nice sadistic stuff. And at the lower levels, sort of good old boys club, you know, you're bored of working and watching TV. And so, you know, you join kind of a big, you know, gang. You know, plus, of course, in you know, if you're ambitious, it's great to get in there. And if you're you know, in certain professions, then you have to join, which I believe, you know, from what I've heard anyway, I haven't looked into this enough to be sure, but the Metro Police might be one of those professions. And if you want to get, or if you're just looking to survive in this economy, and they'll take anybody. They say they're looking to build good character. They're looking for people of good character. They're looking to build better men. Well, what they're looking to do is they're looking to find more people to complete the great work of remaking the world in the image of Lucifer at the top. Yeah, at the bottom, there's just a guy going, I'm part of a cool gang, I get to wear a cool ring, I get to hang out with a bunch of cool, you know, smart people who I know are movers and shakers in this culture, and I get some protection, and I get some perks and benefits, and, you know, I get all these people that work in positions of power in society can, you know, give me better deals on cars. Maybe I will save the $800 on freight for bringing the car to this parking lot, even though I never pay for anything else to be brought anywhere else. They try and charge me freight at parking lots, and when the media tries to talk about it, all the car dealerships say, you know, shut up, or we're never advertising with you again, and the media clams up again, as has happened a couple of times, like in the movie Orwell Rolls in His Grave, which I recommend you see out there reveal. So, you know, and yet this morning on the college streetcar, you know, passing Bay and College, I'm looking at the window of the second cup, just right there on the northwest corner of Bay and College, just west of Young and College, and there's a freaking hole in it. That's covered up by green tape. There's a freaking hole in it, and somebody tossed something through there. And yet, you know, 30, 40 feet away from it, just east of, you know, the second top of the northwest corner of Bay and College, there's a freaking police station. A central one. You know, right there. And there's three Freemasonic statues there. You know, one of the most representative, frankly, of a sort of hermaphrodite police officer hard to tell. I mean, I've seen this thing up close and personal. I've taken pictures for, you know, 2-3 years now with it. You know, the whole, you know, the statues there, and you can see this police officer who sort of looks a little too, you know, skinny for a cop for sure, and a little too slight to be a dude, but also not quite female enough to be a female. And that's because at the top, the New World Order wants hermaphrodite slaves. That's ultimately their goal, self-replicating hermaphrodite slaves, you know, for whatever that's worth. And so, you know, later on, go to Alan Watt, cuttingthroughthematrix.com to see more on that. And you can see this officer statue right there on the south side of, you know, the cop shop there, finishing the last three bricks of this pyramid, symbolizing how close they are to completing their great work to... you know, not the individual cops themselves, but the brotherhood, the order, the religion, you know, the fraternity they belong to, you know, wants to do that. And they're, you know, many of them are in that. And I got to tell you something, folks. If you, you know, I got to work at a furniture store, right? And I manage a furniture store. I got to do whatever I got to do to make my money and to do my thing and to get my counter psyop on in this damn city, you know, where, you know, day after martial law ends, we're like, you know, suntanning in a park, and I'm just like, oh, God, shopping at a mall, and I'm just like, ah, you people don't understand, well, because you don't understand, you know, how much can I yell? but anyway, the pointy-headed point is that when I was managing this furniture store, I didn't think about all sorts of crap about where this stuff came from. I ain't think about how some of this stuff was made in China, you know, by slave labor. I ain't think about where, you know what I'm saying? I ain't think about, you know, a lot of these things. You know, I wasn't socially conscious and going at my job, going at my boss, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So, because it's very difficult. You know, it's difficult for nurses to look into the issue of vaccines. Although, you know, when they was going to get shot too, a lot of them did. And they went, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, I've seen what these things do to people. I don't like them. You know, some of them will be, they'll give you an out. You know, they'll ask instead of suggest that you take one, because vaccines are toxic garbage and you shouldn't be taking no drugs if you ain't sick. You know, anyway, and because otherwise pharma can sell you tons of preventative crap, filled with toxic nonsense. So go to VRAN.org for more on that. And most importantly, for vaccine exemption forms you can share with parents out there. But the cops and the Masons and everybody who, you know, joined whatever, and all the people on Bay Street and all the people on Wall Street, you know, and all the yuppies living it up, and all the people that bought their houses and then refinanced them, remortgaged them, because they thought, you know, in the speculative bubble economy, you know, like everybody thinks every time, even though it's always wrong, that the good times and the party's going to last forever, you know, that. It's hard to beat, you know, something you're that close to. It's hard to go at it. And I'm not talking mess. I've been here for 4 years. I don't talk mess about Ryerson. I don't talk mess about CKLN Radio. I don't talk mess about other shows. I don't talk mess about other programmers. It's hard to, and I'm not doing it. There's no reason to, for the most part, as far as I can tell. And putting out general ideas about our culture, you know, people can see what, you know, who to cap fit, wear it, you know, as Bob Marley said. So if nothing I say affects you, that's probably good. And if something I say affects you, you got to figure out why. So, you know, whatever, it is what it is. But I'm going to get to the Metro, but I really do want to encourage people, if they like, to, you know, not be scared of my brusque manner. You know, when I say, you know, what I guess effectively when I try and correct somebody about something, it's not because I, you know, I'm trying to be mean, because I'm trying to be nice. But, you know, people have confused that for years. So, let's see what the Metro looks like. Let's see what the Metro looks like here in the post-martial law situation. You know, here on June 30th, 2010, just a day before Canada Day, if my math works out right. Where there's not much buzz, you know, and you know, we do Canada Day crappy in this country, except for Ottawa. Ottawa is Canada Day big, but and you know, a couple other parts maybe, but from what I know, we do Canada crappy in this country. And so, and there's a reason why it's not being played up. I mean, it's the cover of the Metro here, and I was reading through this morning. There's a small little thing here on Canada Day. Metro will not publish tomorrow Canada Day. We will return Friday. See pages 8:17 for a Canada Day coverage. So a pretty depressing little blurb on the front here. You know, and that's it. And that's it for Canada Day. And it's the day before, and there's no Canada Day issue. So, you know, while, you know, a healthy, you know, two scoops of raisins or national pride, you know, could really, 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 really be valuable right now. You know, when we're dealing with martial law. And the threat of martial law being called, you know, anytime, any moment. But again, our media is not playing it up because, you know, they're not supposed to. So, you know, there it is. Individuals might do good work there, but the overall thesis coming from our media is that was kind of crazy, but this is how it was crazy, and the system's investigating itself, and then you have a few, you know, activist stragglers out there, or chosen, you know, media contacts and spokespeople who the media knows they can trust for a good quote from a legit, quote-unquote, legitimate, quote-unquote, credible enough, you know, group to you know, publish. And there you go, and you keep the feedback loop of BS going. Because, you know, again, it's good stuff. It is good stuff. For what it is. You know, the media does a good enough job to keep us interested, but not good enough to keep us safe. You know, another old aphorism. I don't read a goddamn book. But me do that for years. But I'm not bragging here. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that these things are tested over time, and now that, you know, martial law's here, you know, I don't want anyone looking at me like, you know, I worked on figuring out martial law, the new world order, the situation, our socialization, the same way, you know, people worked on being able to work on cars. And so if I roll up to a mechanic cop shop, and he's like, yeah, the carburetor goes here, and the gas thing there, and the piston, I go, who are you to say that? Huh? Who do you think you are? And guy's like, well, you know, I am a mechanic, and, you know, this is what I usually, you know, work on learning and what I practice, and, you know, I talk to other mechanics about, you know, things, and I kind of keep up on the latest in mechanization. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you? Nah, get out of here. You're crazy. You know, he'd get pretty mad. And, you know, I might too. But I'm not getting mad right now. The phone number here on your CKLN Rude Awakening is 416-595-1655. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to share your thoughts, I'd like to know. I'd like to know if you have any thoughts. I'd like to know. I know I got some listeners out there. I had some downloads of the show. Also got some interesting news from listeners of mine from my worldwide international brotherhood of free Jasonry. My snitches on the streets, word up snitches on the streets, who feed me intel because I aim for omniscience and I can't be omniscient or omnipresent. So got to get people feeding you intel, and people are telling me that this show. There are chunks of it, little chunks of it here and there, that are blocked out from the airways. And so I'll deal with that in a sec. But I do want to say, I do want to respect the callers. So, caller, you're on the air. Please turn off your radio. Your thoughts?
Yes, I'd like to know why you're still going on about vaccines when a big martial law was declared over the weekend. And you don't seem to be asking the questions that we need to know, like what happened to all the black bloc people they arrested. You know, how do you explain how the police let all the vandalism happen and they arrested 900 innocent people? Like, how come you're not going on about that or going on about trying to find out facts? Like, what happened to all the 900 people arrested?
Well, you know, to be honest, I did that yesterday and the day before. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I kind of want to, well, two things. One, on the vaccine issue, I'm never going to stop mentioning that. And I'm going to weave it into conversations on a regular basis. I've looked at that for over 4 years. It's among the most dangerous ways to be dumbed down by the New World Order because you're injecting poisons directly into your bloodstream. So, you know, the bits of GMO food here and there will kill you. The glucose, fructose in my Arizona iced tea, which has mercury in it, that'll also kill me or dumb me down or whatever. But I can crap some of this stuff out through my normal body's processes. When you put something in your bloodstream, it flows to your brain, different parts of your body, and it's really messing up a lot of kids out there, and I can't stand that. So the vaccine issue stays as long as I have a chance to speak about it and weave it into things. And on the rest of the stuff, you know, I, in terms of why am I not trying to find out things, what do you suggest I do?
Like, you know, like another question would be, what do the police have to gain by all this, like in the billions of dollars spent? Maybe I'd like to know...
Do you have a job?
Do I have a job?
Yeah, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just trying to say practically for the conversations. Do you have a job or do you?
Yeah, I'm an electrician.
Wonderful.
I drive to work every day.
Do you work for a company or do you work for yourself? Are you privately? Do you work for yourself?
I work for a company.
All right. Do you do what they say?
What that?
Do you do what they say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Work-wise,
great.
Too.
Great. So I'm on Queen Street yesterday, and I'm gonna answer your damn question. And I'm not trying to be mean here, caller. I'm just. There are answers to these things, and so I just like to share them with you, and then we can continue this, because I'm enjoying it, and I hope you are, too. I'm at Much Music yesterday. I'm approached by a guy. I don't know who this guy was, you know, but you know, people do know me. He said he saw me on YouTube, although at the end of our conversation, I asked him a couple of questions, and I figure he might have been an undercover, you know, cop or whatever, just trying to, you know, test me or feed me info or have a public conversation with me on the streets to kind of get some of these ideas out there. But the point is that he's saying to me, the cops let their cop cars be destroyed. And I said to him, dude, how can you, as a cop, decide to go to work one day and go, new day at work, it's going to be a good day. I feel like letting $65,000 worth of property be destroyed. That's what I feel like doing today. I feel like leaving my car there so that it can be destroyed and not watching it and not keeping an eye on it. That's what I want to do at work today. You know, if a cop decided to destroy $60,000 worth of cop car, he'd be fired. So, to say the police are responsible for this, why'd the cops do this? Why'd the cops
do this? No, I never said that they were. I never said they intentionally burned it.
Okay, so now...
I think what happened was, like a...
Go ahead, no, please, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Hello?
Yeah, I think what happened is maybe the police weren't fast enough to catch them because they all had their ride gear on or who knows, or just kind of let it happen for, you know, the sake that they needed their budget reasons, to have that big budget.
To
have a little bit of violence, you know, happen.
I think this is a military operation. I think this is a NORTHCOM military operation. I saw the military planes here. I still see military copters periodically. You know, I still got my eyes out. You know, we had Merck's private con. And this is all admitted. The media said these people are here. You know, we didn't really see them, but the media said they were here. And the government said they were coming, so it is what it is. And in a military operation like this, the federal levels, they take charge of the operation. And this happens in the States because the New World Order, the people at the top of this whole system that want to create a system that can clamp down on us like they do in communist China, communist Russia, communist Cuba, formerly communist Russia, I guess, and now here in communist Canada, they want to do two things. They want to federalize our police forces and federalize our local law enforcement and our local bureaucracies so it's all under federal centralized control. And then they want to internationalize the exact same forces and the exact same bureaucracies so they can bring foreign troops here and foreign cops here. And the next time, you know, this happens, these people who are being used to enforce martial law here may not even be Canadians. And that's when we're in some real trouble. So that in a nutshell is kind of the stage's process. So did the cops, you know, did the cops fight? Because they do have some power. Everybody in the system has some power. Even the mass media got pissed off at this. And every group has power in this system. So the cops will flex a little bit to get what they want after being sort of told to do by the feds. But they are working together, and the feds are in charge. So I would recommend that we point the blame there, which nobody seems to do, because as I said on yesterday's show, I think we're being set up to fight with our cops again. I do. This yesterday's show was titled that. Are we being set up to fight with our cops again? And I think that's what. And I walk the streets. People are like that, cop this, cop that. I'm like, oh Jesus! If they have to enforce martial law again next week, and all they've been hearing is the public hates them, they are not going to be a good move when they talk to us. And this is bad. So, caller, your thoughts?
I think that when you have that high a concentration of power, they're just going to use it. When you give anyone a lot of power, they're going to use it. And that's what happens. I think that's what happened here.
They felt the
need to justify all the money that's been spent. But I'd also like to know what happened to all these black guys that they apparently arrested. Like, where are they? What are they charged with? You know, is there any way we can find that out?
I don't know. I mean, you can Google it. You can call. They call the cops. I mean, people can do stuff. There's nothing that, and Alex Jones talked about this. I'm not picking on you either, caller. This is just the world we live in. You know, the world we live in is, you know, we used to just go do stuff ourselves. And today we have easier access than ever to information. We got 311. We got Metro Police. We got the media itself. You can call the media. You can call a damn radio. They'll talk to you. They're nice. You know, I crap on them all the time, and they're nice to me. I had mainstream TV reporter and outside the Starbucks near Much Music, which is boarded up, and I'm taking a picture of it. And she asked me, you know, could you do that again for the cameras? You know, and the camera guys take it. So I take my picture, a couple pictures, and a couple of cops walk by. So I get them in the pictures. They're walking by, and I'm taking pictures there. And this whole shot is going on for like 30 seconds or, you know, a minute. And I'm like, I have no idea why they're just staring at me. But they finish it. And then I go over and I say thank you to her. And she says thank you with a half smile and rolls her eyes at me. Like, I know who you are. I just gave you, you know, 4 seconds of FaceTime. There. Now go bugger off and do your crazy fight the bad guys thing. You know, I can't deal with this. So they'll help you. You know, but they're not going to risk their jobs either. So in terms of that, sure. You know, I wouldn't mind knowing what happened to them. But my attitude about them is that they're police provocateurs. They were protected. They were allowed to destroy things. The city was under a surveillance blanket. 24/7. Cops every 2 minutes I saw. And the fact that there was none at the G20 protest just seals the deal with, you know, what was meant to happen, including the wanton destruction of parts of the city that we shouldn't accept.
Okay.
Sorry, Carl. Anything else in your mind? Anything else about this? I do want to make sure that hopefully I'm answering your questions. I know I speak a little fast, but go ahead.
What do you feel about being searched a whole bunch of times the other day? I remember hearing you on the radio the next day, and you're kind of fine with it or whatever. You didn't kind of go off on the fact that it was against the law or, you know, something like that.
Well, you know, and if you do listen to the show, you know, I try and find, you know, a third way, like, you know, the protest model, for example. There are people out there, there are activists out there, you know, that are wedded to this idea. You know, getting some activists to stop protesting is like getting some people to stop using Facebook. It's just not happening. It's just not freaking happening. Even though they know that they're being invited by the government to yell at cops. And this is the government. The government's inviting them to, oh, you want political change? Show up and yell at some cops and have them beat your ass. Yeah, and then go home. That's it. You know, and then we get here to world government. You know, so, My point is that my third way of doing this, and I had to explain this briefly again near Much Music yesterday where I was hanging out, under those conditions of martial law, you know, where, you know, the police are super paranoid because the whole protest was set up. It was even sold by the media as being about the violence. You know, that's why it was 10,000 cops, troops, mercs, and spooks here. And we spent $1 billion for them, and we still got hit by a bunch of violence. So the whole thing doesn't make any damn sense. But under these conditions, as I said to a buddy of mine, under martial law conditions, when the cop has to just do one thing to, A, feel safe and not feel like you are trying to hide something from him, and there is some crazy ish in your backpack, and my backpack is fairly large, you know, and you know, when they have to do that to feel safe, and when they have to do that to keep their job, like he can just let me wander around, you know, sticking up posters, dissenting in an environment where he's been told, you got to find everybody, because if that guy keeps wandering around postering with his little glue stick and you didn't check him out first and he blows something up, it's your ass.
Well, I think that's the system. It's like part of a group psychology, and when they have that much power, then that all feeds off itself.
It's group or individual. My point is that I'm not going at the cops when they've been ordered to enforce martial law. And so I did. I resisted the week before I did. You know, I was testing this for the last couple of weeks. And so I resisted at the wall, and I had a nice half-an-hour conversation with the guy, not last week, the week before, you know, when I started agitating on these things, and the wall started going up. The first day was completed. I tried filming it, stopped, you know, and they actually, this wasn't a question of where they were just going to bundle me into a van and haul me off if I disagreed. It was early enough in the process that I actually got to have a half-an-hour conversation by the wall. Other cops come over. They see me. You know, they know we're cool. Nobody's tripping because I'm not violent or especially scary. And then that kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter, you know. And then, you know, I got to the Grays on Tuesday, which are the guys right down deep in the Idaho Financial District. And those guys you don't even talk to. Like, you don't fight for your rights. And they don't want to see your ID either. They just want you to leave now. You know, the Flashpoint guys. You know, TV show Flashpoint? You know, the Gray, you know. Those guys, they're just like... and the nice, good-looking, blonde, Top Gun, you know, studly blonde guy, he was just nice with a Cheshire Cat grin. He's like, you're going to have to leave, dude. Like, he was just looking at me like, you know how close you are to being killed, you know. And there was six of them at first, and then there was 10 of them. And the other guys who, you know, who weren't in charge, I suppose, in that social or hierarchical setting, were just there looking at me like, like, we're ready to go for this guy. Like, if this guy gives the order, your head's sailing over Cleveland. And I was like, thanks, guys. I'm out of here. Boom, gone.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying you would disagree with him at that point at all, but it just seemed like you didn't really object to it over the radio the next day. You didn't say it was unusual or...
Oh, no. I mean, I read the Toronto Star article where the police got powers in secret, and it says here on the cover of the Metro, Premier Dalton McGuinty still hasn't explained why Cabinet passed a regulation change in secret and then kept it a secret. And then keep it a secret. grammar in the media is getting terrible these days. Because everyone's texting. But the point is, no, you're not wrong for, you know, this is kind of like Alex Jones gets the same crap. Like, crap. And it's not your fault, caller. I'm not trying to, but I'm just saying that for me, there are certain shows where I'll talk about, you know, vaccines for like a half an hour. And then there's other shows where I'll just reference the idea of them being, you know, full of toxic crap, dangerous, eugenic tools for dumbing down and depopulation. And someone will be like, whoa, that guy's crazy. He just said that? And you missed the show where I said that for a half an hour. I had an expert on or whatever. And Jones gets the same thing where he'll mention, you know, and they're building, you know, FEMA camp. Halliburton got a $400 million contract to build FEMA camps. Or DynCorp is running child sex trafficking rings. In a world like that, we have to do something. And you're thinking this guy's crazy because you missed the show where he did an hour on how DynCorp, a subsidiary of Halliburton, was caught running child sex trafficking rings and that sort of thing. So yeah, caller, I want us to win. You know, there's a lot of active. I didn't see none of the F the police guys in the streets. I was out in the streets. I was patrolling. I was keeping a counter psyop. I was looking for the bourbons. I was looking for the minivans. I was looking for the choppers. I was looking for the ETF SUVs. And I wasn't trying to, what am I going to do against 10,000 cops? Like, what am I going to do against one?
You know? Nothing, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like I'm, hey, let's go. Like, I'm not trying to fight them, but I'm trying to understand what's going on so I can explain it. But all the F the police guys, all them kids that be saying that, all them kids, all the hip hop kids, you know, they went ghost. And I said to them in the way that I can through Hip Hop Canada and different mediums, and the way I'll say it to anybody, the way I'll say it right now, there are no, you know, there are no hard feelings for what you want to do to deal with martial law. You know, if you're a 6'5", 350-pound black guy that could tear me in half with one hand while you're eating a hamburger with another, and you decide to stay in and sit this one out while I'm wandering around the streets taking pictures of crazy stuff and showing up at riots and calling things and trying to chill out people and making eye contact with people, you know, and giving them, you know, nice, you know, deep nods so that they go, don't worry, man, it'll be cool, and hey, this is a crisis situation, and I seem to look, as crazy as I look, like I can handle it. No problem, because I've trained for this, because I'm built for this. And it's not fair for me to ask anybody else. It's like asking a guy in a wheelchair to dunk a basketball. Like, I'm not a prick. You know, during martial law, get inside, lock the door, if you feel like you need to. If you're a guy, tell your woman, honey, get inside, lock the door, I love you, I gotta go. Me and the boys are forming a soccer wall on the front lawn. And when the cops come by, you know, on our front lawn, in our whole neighborhood, and when the cops come by, we're going to ask them very politely, you know, officers, thank you for your patience for a second. Do you mind if we ask what you've been ordered to do under martial law? And the officers will say, well, we are looking for suspected protest terrorists or whatever, and so we've been ordered to search all your houses. You say, okay, officer, I understand the position you've been put in, but we're all Canadians here, we're all peaceful people, and I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, to make the search, you know, fairly quick and fairly easy. Once you ascertain that we're dealing with you in a calm and professional manner like we are now, that we're letting you do this in a calm way, and that I can get my wife and kids out of the house, you know, and stuff them in my car, you know, for a bit or whatever, while you do that. And the officers go, deal. I get to keep my job. You know, you get to keep your house and your stuff and your person and your property, and I have to arrest you. And all the boys in the street are there in case things get crazy, and you have to fight with them. And all the boys in the street are there to see that things are not crazy and that you don't have to fight with them. And so these are the things that are on my mind. And so, you know, I just wrote this crap at the second cup yesterday. Like, all right, so what do we do next time this happens? And so if you're not, you know, prepared to deal with this, that's fine. During martial law. But after martial law, if you can't put up posters with a glue stick like I did, like I was followed on Thursday by cops, city workers, and helicopters who were ripping them down after I was doing them, and they weren't touching me. Nobody touched me. They were nice. They'd ID'd me all week, so what was the point? And they'd let me do it, so what was the point? You know, they'd set a precedent that I can do it in the city. And so, you know, but I know it works because the state sent a team to clean up after an enemy of the state like that. And it wasn't personal. If it was personal, my head would have been in a toilet for half an hour. It was business. We can't let the people see the screw the $1 billion G20 protest. Who wants to just yell at a fence and go home? Can we share the non-GMO shopping guide instead? Because then all the other people...
What did your sign say that they're ripping down?
Huh?
What did your sign say that they're ripping down?
What I just mentioned. Screw the $1 billion G20 in quotes protest. Who wants to yell at a fence and go home? Can we share the non-GMO shopping guide instead? Can we share both the risks in block capital letters, again with the vaccines here, the risks and benefits of vaccines, and then below that, can we share vaccine exemption forms? And all these people are out there going, you know what, that is a better idea than yelling at a fence and going home, or yelling at cops and going home. That is a better idea. And because that's a better idea, the state, again, nothing personal, all business, sent a team to clean up after me. On Yonge Street on Thursday afternoon from 4, 5, 6 p.m. And I'm slapping these things on Yonge Street, off Yonge Street, so there's thousands of people walking by, and the goddamn city is ripping down my posters in front of them. Now, that to me seals the freaking deal about what's effective in this culture. Calmly and consistently sharing information that can improve people's lives, that can give you the tools to improve someone else's life so you get more personal validation and you feel better and you become closer with your family, friends, and neighbors. And at the same time as all that crap is happening, this information is indicting the system and reminding us not to trust big pharmacide, not to trust big GMO agra, and that we can make simple, smarter choices that can protect us from some of these things, and that can also, get us to frame some of the BS that comes down from the big institutions better so that we can reject it easier. So that's it. So during martial law, man, go do your thing. I was running around like a maniac because I know what this is. I know what's next. So I'm still running around like a maniac. I'm not just going shopping and suntanning. You know, like I'm not doing that crap. Like I know what's coming next. I know what's after this. After this is renditions. First is the IDs, and they got to make sure you're not a protest terrorist because they see your ID, they run it through the system. But after you get ID'd, the next step is renditions, you know, and they start doing that here, where they just throw you into a van, and they really make sure you're not a protest terrorist by taking you to a room and, you know, working you over with, you know, whatever means they want. So now that martial law is kind of seized a bit and most of the stuff that's going on, the integration is mostly covert behind the scenes, I've caught a couple of spooky vans going by, and the FBI is allowed to operate here 50 kilometers north of the border and all this crap. So there's little bits and pieces of crap going on, but it's pretty harmless. you know, at least, you know, in the broad sense. So now you can put up posters. Now you can hand out flyers. Now you can burn DVDs. And now you know what happens if we don't. So, sorry, caller. Please continue.
No, it's everything. Thanks for talking to me. I got to get to work, actually.
No worries, sir. Thank you so
All
much
right.
for your time.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, CKLN listeners, apologize for that. I rant while people are on the phone like they're not. Bad. And these headphones are horrible, so I don't know how the mix is going today. It's been a fairly vocal-heavy mix recently, so, you know, but I digest. Let's get to the Metro. Let's see how the Metro's, you know, the swan song for... the G20, the cover of the Metro, Villa on the ball for Spanish trademark marker. And so, you know, there you go, World Cup stuff at the top. I'll do, second time is the charm, top secret, page 36. And it's a picture of Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green from 90210 fame, at least as I know. And apparently they got married or something, it's on page 36, but they put the picture of these two very good-looking people. Well, one very good-looking and one decent-looking dude. No offense, dude, but your woman's way hotter than you. But she's way hotter than, you know, most guys. So what are you going to do? And so on. And by the way, out there, and for all the guys, I just made I'm putting this on guys here. I cannot yell at women to do this stuff. I cannot yell at women to go and attack the people that sent 10,000 cops, troops, mercs, and spooks to attack us. I can't do it. I won't do it. I won't. And I don't give a damn. You know, like I said in yesterday's show, guys are more physically capable of handling any issues, if any arise. And, you know, they'll feel better, and women will feel better, and they'll be happier and less stressed out and less of a pain in the butt for us if we act like men. So the whole thing works out fine, and they know it. Guys know it. I've said this crap often enough to enough people. I've tested this crap in the streets. I launched this crap last summer. Guys, males, Canadian males, males aged 25 to 45 should man up and defend this country on behalf of women, children, and the elderly. And I launched this last summer, and here's martial law this summer. So, you know, maybe it'll get hot. But people know. People know. No one disagrees. No one disagrees. The chicks love it. The dudes love it. And if a woman wants, and this takes nothing away from the great female scrappers I know, people who scrapped better than I have, harder than I have, tougher than me. You know, Barbara Lowe Fisher, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the foremost anti-vaccine advocate in the world, you know, who's read like 4,000 studies on vaccines. I mean, that's tougher than I am. I couldn't get through one. So that's to take nothing away from those who want to. I'd never stop anybody that can fight the New World Order from trying. But if you don't want to and you're a girl, that's cool. If you don't want to and you're a guy, are you? So, you know, back to the articles here. And there's Drake, rapper, and then Richard Branson on the cover. And by the way, age 25 to 45, because we have an immature culture, so by 25, you know, you can't really make excuses. But if you're 21, 22, you can still act like you're 14, and, you know, people will kind of accept it. But you're 25, 26, 27, you know, people don't... There's enough social disapproval for you to be kept in place by your peers, at least a bit. And if you have an age range like that, at the top end, you know, we're protecting women, children, and the elderly. So, you know, if that's the good news. If you're older than that, you can still scrap. But, you know, if you don't want to, that's cool. And there's also a nice age range there. So if you're a 25-year-old knucklehead, it's quite possible that a 35, 40, or 45-year-old, you know, who's grown out of his knuckleheadedness, but is in the same struggle, can show you out. So there's ways that this can all be done fairly easily. You know, these guys have to operate in the shadows. After whacking us, you know, like they did with a stick, you know, they're going to have to give us a lot of fun, folks. There's no way in hell we're going to just forgive them and forget all this and get all stupid and lazy so they can whack us even harder next time or whack us with the recession and then make us all broke and pissed and then we take to the streets and then our cops, you know, all practiced and pissed off at us for getting pissed off at them. For not trying to understand the situation they're in either, go nuts on us. So, you know, that's the plan. So we're going to have some fun in the next few weeks. No guarantee. I was on Queen Street yesterday near Much, and I was leaving to go get a bite to eat, and I walked by the Foot Locker. I'm just walking west on the south side in the Foot Locker, and DJ Deadmau5 is there. And I'd heard the name. I don't know his music, but I heard the name to know enough that he was a name. So I stuck around for a bit with the crowd of about, 40, 50 people. And we were all dancing. And I was just listening to this live Wicked DJ set. And he was great. He's a really great DJ. And so I had a really good time there. And then that set was, half an hour, 40 minutes. And then I left and I went back to do my biz. But we have an amazing city. We have a phenomenal city here. We have a ridiculously good city, which makes it soft. You know, you walk by, there's people on skateboards, people playing tennis, there's people doing this and that. And I got my eye on things. You know, I know what it is. I know I can't walk around with a sandwich board saying, wake the hell up, and here's a website. That was martial law, wake the hell up. And then, here's a website. And then there's more information there, obviously. I can't walk around with a sandwich board and my hair blown out, and a dashiki or whatever, singing Bob Marley songs on a megaphone, yet. But if it comes down to it and we don't, get moving on these issues, you damn right that's what I'm going to do. That was a wake-up call to me that I got to take this crap more seriously. And I wake up 4 days a week at 4:30 in the morning to come down here and yell about it. So, So that's how the Metro's structured. Cops let cat out of the bag on the cover is meant to tell us that we have the whole story. Well, the answer is no, we don't have the whole story on any of this. And we don't even have the whole story on the new ID legislation, because when they say, this piece of legislation allows, gives the cops special powers to ask for ID at this time, and it was passed in secret by the Ontario legislature, and it was not debated in Parliament. Well, first of all, it's a piece of legislation. it's not a twit. A tweet? Well, the twit is the... Well, anyway, I won't get into that, but it's not a tweet. If it was a tweet, then that might be what it says. Cops get more power to ID. Smiley face. It's freaking legislation. That means there was other stuff in there. God knows what that stuff is, but whatever it is, it's being implemented now. It's like the Patriot Act. It allows them to take all our rights. It allows them to... the Patriot Act is 800 pages long. And there's been like 8 of them since. There's been the John Warner Defense Authorizations Bill. There's been Presidential Decision Directive Number 51 for Continuity of Government. This is all in America. There was Alan Rock's martial law bill back in 98, where the media just went, he was the Justice Minister at the time, media went, this is martial law, what the hell are you doing? These things have been around for quite some time. They're just being rolled out right now. Like, that's what we saw. We saw a test of that. That's a test. They're getting all the data in. How you doing, sir? It's 5 seconds to 7 on this clock. Can you give me a minute? Yeah? Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, mate. All the four-hour guys usually give me a minute. This is martial law here, and I just like to make sure I take a final minute or two here on the show to let you know, what this is and what we can do about it. Because it's more important, because people can shut down over this crap. I know they can't, And so, you have to find ways to move on these things when you're happy. Is everybody happy? Is everybody happy again? Is everybody in the city happy again? The sun is shining, weather is sweet. Make you want to move your dancing feet to the rescue. Here I am. Want you to know right here, right now, where I stand. And so on. All right, so we're all in a good mood. Great. We're all in a good mood. Great. Well, in that case, you shouldn't get pissed off if you got to read something a little serious, because you're in a good mood. Now you're in a bad mood. Your dad just died or something. And then you could, avoid all this crap. But if you're in a good mood, then handle it. And that's a shiny nickel's worth this morning. Was going to go through the whole metro here. They came to attack the summit. Police show off seized weapons. And then below that, not all items taken from rioters. And there's garden tools here and so on. So you can see, secret report reveals fire response problems. And that's why the fire department didn't show up there. Police tactics condemned by Ms. DeRocher for the Canadian Civil Liberties Association. Again, they probably do some good and bad work, just like the ACLU in the States, but they are going to give the official comment. And then Metro's Guide to Fun at Pride. If you're gay out there, you only became gay because you like men. So fine, be a man. And other gay guys, be a man. And take on the 10,000, the people, the power structure that sent 10,000 cops, troops, mercs, and spooks to attack us. You know, they only get power by exposing lies, or they only get power by keeping secrets, and we get power by exposing them, by exposing their lies, so that they don't work anymore, so that we're not fooled into, you know, choosing politicians that aren't going to do anything for us. So we're not fooled into making stupid buying choices or health choices that dumb us down or make us sick and weak, and then going to Big Pharma. So we're not fooled by the new CAMH 27-acre mental health concentration camp at Queen and Ossington going up. Like, that's a good thing, integrating with the community and convincing us all that we're all crazy and we're all going to need crazy drugs. This is all nuts. So to wrap up the show before... gentleman taking over from Mr. Ron Gaskin will give you a four-hour jazz experience like none other, like only CKLN Radio can provide, because we are community radio and this is how we do. Certain sites I recommend you check right now and articles you pass on right now, including Infowars.com, including GlobalResearch.ca, including NaturalNews.com for great health news, CanadiansForHealthFreedom.org for great Canadian health news, including any damage. If you had any damage from the H1N1 vaccine, they got a list of hundreds of people who are telling their stories. And conspiracyculture.com here, great book and EV store, Queenie Rossville's, pressfortruth.ca, the best reporting on the G20 summit, or among the best that I can say you'll find anywhere in the city. TorontoTruthSeekers.com. I helped form a gang of about 375-400 people there. They're kind of operating on their own, and I'm kind of taking basically the same ideas to the entire city of 6 million people, because they got a little upset at me putting that kind of pressure on them. So I'm diffusing it over a larger population base, and we'll see what that pops out with respect to us dealing with things like like martial law being randomly called by the government when they invite a bunch of criminal world leaders for lunch. And so on. So in trendsresearch.ca, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, vigilantcitizen.com for your celebophile peers, to let them know how the industry is controlled and how we can save our celebrities so they don't have to make stupid music and they don't have to make stupid choices to get us to listen to stupid music and to get us to make stupid choices. That's enough for me, folks. I am out of here. Have a fantastic day. It is the day before Canada Day, so do meditate on that a bit. Do think about that a bit. And just let, you know, let that sink in. What just happened in Toronto before Canada Day, and what can you as a Canadian do to make sure it never happens in Canada again? Peace out, everybody.
Them clappy, happily them us. If it's young, why them they in a 9 out of 10 times them touch. at the counter rise like inflation. Come in like a disease around the world is not on religion. Me as cancer. Nobody thinks that it now go come from your station. Two tooth, sitting look like a wasteland. Me see them wire.